Welcome back to Girl Listen, the everyday life with a military wife. Today we'll be talking about how to navigate the jobs and workforce and all that good stuff. And I am here talking about that with my good friend, Tanae. Hey, girl.
Hi.
She got to come closer, y'all. We still testing out the kinks. Tanae is here. She is very big into the social justice, Black Lives Matter, all the good things that I stand for and all my friends stand for.
Yes.
And we're just trying to figure out how the heck are we going to navigate how to work and actually utilize our skills. So, Tanae, can you kind of introduce yourself and give us a little synopsis as to what you do and why you do it?
Well, hi, guys. I am Tanae Baker. Can I say that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
And I am an advocate for social justice and social change in America. That is kind of my passion, and also I would like to take that into the career realm. It's very hard to find jobs that will allow you to do that. So generally, it's all about working a 9-to-5 and then finding time to volunteer.
Right.
And so in that way, a lot of people are already stressed out, overworked, and can't really give their best self. And so I was really trying to find something that would allow me to connect all of my skills with my passion and actually get paid for it.
Right. Oh, my God. That's the main. Okay. So I love my people. I promise you I do. And I love volunteering. I love working with kids. It's my passion. But when that dollar sign don't match my passion, it's hard.
Very.
It's so hard.
Very.
Like, OMG.
Very.
Oh, goodness.
And I've noticed that, like, one of my previous jobs that I had before, I was actually making money. Like, money was not the issue, but it was something I just was not fulfilled in. It didn't really do any, I didn't feel like I was giving anything back to the community.
Right.
And I was just making rich people richer. That's how I saw it. That was literally the mission of the company. And yes, they broke me off a good piece of it. And so, and I didn't have to do a lot in order to get it. But at the same time, it was very unfulfilling to not be giving back to your community, or just, you know, just knowing that when you go home at night, you feel like you've done something, that you've uplifted somebody, and all those things are what matter to me.
Right.
And so to not have that, no matter what the check looks like, is something that I always kind of struggled with while I was in the job. I never wanted to get complacent there because I knew that that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, even though the money could definitely keep you there.
Of course. And that's the other thing. I think sometimes it's an either or type of thing or all or nothing.
Right.
And I don't like that. I really want to do something where it's like a great blend. Granted, I'm not going to lie to you, money is a lot. But if I see that your mission is a little bit different, okay. Cool, whatever. We'll work it out. If I gotta work an extra job, that's fine. I'm a bartender from the day as long. I will mix you up a drink in a heartbeat. Okay, because I know everybody needs a bartender.
Right.
But when it comes down
stressed.
To it, just a little bit. Pour you a glass of wine, you're fine. But when it comes down to it, it's just like, what can we do to where we're fulfilling the needs of our community? Our Black and brown community, we're going to start with that because I've gotten to the point where I've helped a lot of white communities and they look at me like, yeah, you're supposed to be doing this. But I'm like, what?
Right.
Mind you, they're the main ones.
That need the...
Thank you, need the help. Yeah. But talking about all the Black and browns are doing X, Y, and Z. So I've caught myself helping more of that. With my heart saying I need to help more.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? So I think, and people have said, like, would you favor, you know, the Black and brown? No. I don't favor. I get them. And they respect me and I respect them.
There's a mutual connection there.
Exactly. I see you, you see me. I see you as a person. I don't see you as a thing.
Right.
I don't see you as an opportunity.
Right.
I see you as who you are, where you are.
I see all that potential that you have, that if we only had the resources,
Hello.
We could all get to
Come
the
on,
level.
Somebody. Yes. Say it louder for the ones in the back.
Absolutely.
Okay. God, dog, it just kills me. But anyway, we got off track. Well, not really. But anyway.
It happens.
How are you affiliated with the military?
So, I guess I'm still kind of a new military spouse. in my mind, I'm still very new. So, before, when I got married to my husband, who's in the Air Force, that was, what, 2016? And we were in a location where it was almost like he worked a 9-to-5. So I never really had to engage with anyone else. It wasn't like we were on a base or any of that.
Yeah.
So it was very much, I was just a little city girl living my city life. Right. And
being cute. Right. Not even have to worry about nothing.
Came home to my husband. We did our brunches. And, you know, it was just, it was just normal to me.
Yeah.
And so not much changed. And then in 2018, yes, 2018, we got stationed in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it completely
flipped upside
literally
down.
Florida was the one place the one place on the list that I said I did not want to go to.
Really?
I had so all right in a past life
go ahead.
I was a flight attendant. During my flight attendant days is when the whole Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case happened.
Right, yeah.
And so that's when I really got into the whole social justice piece. That's what really made it all stick out to me and see how prevalent it is, because I was on an airplane and that's like a microcosm for privilege and racism.
Hello?
So.
I thought it was just me.
No, very aware of it.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember doing the whole time period and seeing how that case played out. I was like, oh, I'm boycotting Florida. Like, we would have flights that went down there and we would have to stay overnight. And it was like, oh, I'm bringing my food from home. Mm-hmm. I'm not supporting your economy
coming in, yeah.
So in my mind, I was like, Florida is off limits. Uh-huh. Never going there. There's nothing there for me.
Right.
Of course, I ended up in Florida.
They said, oh, yeah? You don't like us.
And I can't do my grocery shopping on Amazon or anywhere else. So.
Right. Our area is very rural. I'm not going to lie to you. We primarily, the bases here is their economy, in a sense.
Yes.
So you either shop at the commissary, a Walmart, and I love that these little farmers markets are trying to pop up, but I need a farmers market where you actually have real stuff there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if it was just me. But yeah, so I get you. Sorry for cutting you off, but I definitely...
No, that was it. Wait, what was the question?
Yeah. How are you... Okay, moving on. So, she's a military spouse, right?
That's how I'm affiliated. I kind of just fell into it.
Right.
And so now for about the past year, I've been having the real military experience, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Something I thought I knew what I was getting into, but of course, things change. And it's a little different.
Right.
And you just kind of have to adjust. And so that has kind of been what the whole past year has been, just all in adjustment.
Uh-huh.
And then I will say being able to talk to other military spouses has been so helpful, and especially other brown and black military spouses who understand, especially being in the area that we're in, how you can be ostracized. And so how hard it is to get people to engage with you and not thinking that you're the crazy one, but to understand that it's just the culture and the environment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps to kind of create that support system.
Right.
That has definitely been one of my saving graces here, because I will be in the house for like a week and then go outside and be like, oh, wait, that's sunlight. I haven't felt that in a long time.
When it hits your skin, you're like, ah, ooh. That is hilarious. No, but I definitely get what you mean, because when we first moved here, I used to, my working journey started in Connecticut, which is another very rich white area of the New England's. Then I moved down to Baltimore. Baby. Okay, so when I thank you, it was a flip me like a pancake turn. It was one of those where they say, oh, watch The Wire, and I was like, man, I watched The Wire, that show's crazy, that's not real life, bruh. Real life,
based
all day.
Based on a true story.
Based on all the true facts. Not like, oh my gosh. So I lived out there for a year and some change. And then I went to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I was just going south. Boop, 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 boop. State by state. Into the deepest of the deep when it comes down to social work and like human services, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that. I went to school for criminal justice because I really wanted to be a FBI, a detective for the FBI. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm doing it. This is it. Mm-hmm. I'm going. Boom. then I realized what it really takes to be in the FBI, and I was like, shit. It's about that. Right, right. I don't think I can do push-ups like that. So I'm going to just walk away. So then I was like, okay, let me try to figure out, because I grew up with my mom. She's probation officer for 30 plus years, foster care recruiter for 10 plus years. Then
so you just saw it.
Like I was social work down. And when I try to tell my husband about this, he's a numbers guy. So when you try to talk to him about social justice, he wants to talk about the analytical aspect of it. You know, and how it relates to No. You need to know that these folks are hungry, and that's why they look like they're looting.
Right.
If I steal some bread, I mean, they made a whole movie about it. Les Miserables. The man was hungry. He was poor. He stole. But of course, when it's white, it's depicted that way. Exactly. When it's black, it's the L.A. riots. Right. Granted, them niggas was tripping a little bit, but you get what I'm saying?
It was a lot. It was a lot of built up aggression in that.
But still,
yeah.
When I try to explain that stuff to him, he's kind of just like, Liz, that's the underlying factor is there's the numbers are eight. You done lost me.
The numbers are they don't have enough jobs there.
Thank you.
And economic resources.
I try to get that. And I think when folks like us, we know about the socioeconomic disparity, and we know about gentrification, and you know, just white privilege and things.
Right.
We live in an at-will state. I don't know if you know about that.
Tell me.
We are at will. That means if your boss decides, I don't know, can I? Your hair is a little too curly for me. I'm done. They have the right to do that. And I want to say, I was talking to, she wasn't a spouse, but she was very heavily involved with military life. And it was like, she would say things like, girl, you better watch out, girl. And I, at first, I was like, girl, you're just this old black lady that just doesn't want me to be me. Right? You need to whisper. I don't whisper for nobody. I don't even know how to whisper. I'm sorry, I just talk low. Like, it's not even like...
Okay, at least you know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you try to whisper, it's either like... And there's no words.
Right.
Or I'm just like, hey, that's me whispering.
So don't tell Liz your secret.
Don't tell me no dang old telephone. Nah. But anyway, she'd be like, oh, you need to do this. You need to watch this. You need to watch... And I'm thinking to myself, girl, like, let me live.
Right.
I don't get it. But then I saw a girl just like me, and this, I worked for a job searching company down here, and a girl just like me, maybe she was a little bit more outgoing, a little more loud. You know, I'm kind of reserved at work sometimes, but she cackled a little too much, was friends with everybody, did her work, did everything. One person did not like her, and that was the office manager. You know that girl was gone, right?
Wow.
Right. I went to Atlanta for my birthday weekend, came back, shawty was gone, cubicle cleaned out. And then I asked, well, what happened? Because, you know, offices talk. So then another black girl was like, they said she was too loud. Too loud? Okay. Really?
I feel like that's an HR issue.
Hello.
Okay.
That's when you go up to her and be like, shut up. It's quiet in here. Like, it's you're in cubicles. There's no ceiling. There's no door. So, obviously.
There's no way that you're not going to hear me at some point. Yes.
But, anywho. So, we're in an at-will state to where they have the right to remove you from the position.
Yes.
At any given time.
Yes.
Texas is the same way. And I think that's a way to keep black and browns on their toes. You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree.
Because I've seen white folks, hard body. F this. I'm done. Who do you think you talking to?
Yes.
I'm so-and-so. And come back to work like it's nothing. Okay, Chad. I'll see you later. Now, you got Shorty over here.
She was too loud.
Too loud. She would come in, she would have like a dashiki print, like top, really cute. You know, her hair, you know, natural hair, big, curly. I didn't see anything wrong with it, but then again, I'm not old and white.
It was threatening to someone, I suppose.
I guess too threatening. And then, like, it's just here, you got the old people, because this is a retirement town. Like, it's very, I come back here, or I'm a snowbird. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing when I come back here, and I want it to be how I want it. But the job market here is trash.
Correct. Exclamation point, exclamation point. Yes.
It's trash, and it's filled with everyone between getting through that nepotism tunnel. Mm-hmm. You get everything you want, or you got to fight and scrounge and scrape for just a little bit. And yes. It's annoying.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I have two degrees, two bachelor degrees, mm-hmm. Criminal justice and sociology, mm-hmm. and a minor in psych. Mm-hmm. People eat that stuff up when you go other
everywhere
places.
Else.
Here, I shouldn't have. Okay, we moved here in November of 2016. I didn't get a job, and I don't know, call me privileged or whatever, uppity. I didn't get a job until like the end of January.
Oh, you still did better than me.
But I'm saying though, like, I put out at least 300 applications mm-hmm. in a month. Like, yeah. I literally was anything. And I said I would work in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. I said I would work in, hell, I think I was going to take a job in Jacksonville.
Oh, wow.
Like, I legit, because my aunt, I have family on Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I literally was like, well, I could just stay with them mm-hmm. a couple days, no big deal, and then come home maybe.
Right.
I shouldn't have to do that.
At all.
Like, no. I want to work in my community. I want to be a face in my community where people know, hey, I saw you. You've helped me. Can you help me again?
Yes.
Can you help this family?
Can you be a resource?
Right. Mm-hmm. I want to be a resource. Mm-hmm. But here, it's like, who you know?
Yes.
How you know them?
Mm-hmm.
And are you really good friends with them? Or are you just like brunching buddies?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then like if you're really good friends with them, then that's okay. They can kind of put you up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to worry about, are they talking about you behind your back?
It's so much. The politics of it. I had never experienced anything like that before. Like even when I was in DC, there's a huge job market.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy to find a job because there are so many other people there,
mm-hmm.
but they are very well-paid jobs for the most part and whatnot. And
right.
when you come down to this rural area, it's like, oh, you have all the people, and a lot of, especially the military spouses, they all have degrees in all sorts of things.
Thank you.
And then you get this, oh, you're overqualified, or, oh, we're
if I hear that one more time.
I don't understand. What do you...
What is overqualified?
And it's like, it's very hard to find the balance, because it's like, oh, they're paying, like, you need 5 years of experience and a master's degree, and we're going to pay you all...
$2.
$18 an hour. Like, just, wait, but how am I supposed to live? Because it's not, even though... This is a rural area. The cost of living...
It's outrageous.
It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Like, coming from D.C., it's more than D.C., which is what
is
I...
Really?
Yes. Which is... The only thing cheap is alcohol. That's it.
Well, look around.
That is it.
I mean...
But when we left from D.C., that was like... Everyone tried to sell us on that. Oh, it's the cost of living is going to be so much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't have to worry about the traffic. Both of those things have been false for us.
Oh my gosh.
But yes, it seems that it's very hard for people who are permanent residents of the area to really understand the military spouse struggle.
Right.
And in some ways it looks like they take advantage of that because they know there's going to be someone
that
wants to get a job, that needs a job, that has to take a job, and so they're willing to take whatever, and
right.
so the employer is just going to offer whatever, and if you don't take it, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that, and I can tell you firsthand, at my job, I'm a supervisor over about 10 people, right? I work for emergency services, so that's food, shelter, and something else, Cameron. Oh, mental health! I was like, it's something else, that's an emergency. But when we lose a case manager,
mm-hmm.
burnout is real.
Yes.
Self-care is a necessity, and people do not do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later, too, so remind me. It's like when we get the applications coming in,
mm-hmm.
you either get the really great qualified ones to the point where you're like, ooh, I don't think you're gonna like this because you're so qualified. Right. Mm-hmm. Or the ones that have no experience and then it's like, do I even have time to train you? Mm-hmm. So we haven't found that unicorn that checks all the boxes. So of course we hire folks, and now that it's getting crunch time and we got all these cases coming in,
right,
I've gotten to the point where we need to have, and I've told my higher ups, we need to have like a week of me training these people, mm-hmm. them, then a week of them shadowing with a right. case manager, mm-hmm. and then we can give them cases. No. I'm not going to say the organization I work for, but them folks is crazy. They like to throw you to the wolves.
Got it. Okay.
They'll tell you in the interview, and I always ask people in interviews, how are you, like, how do you learn? Are you visual? Mm-hmm. Are you like, you know, I could see it, I'm good. Or do you need me to be hands-on with you? Like, mm-hmm. how are you? And everyone's like, oh, I can pretty much learn anyway.
Right.
All right. And then I said, well, how are you? And these, I ask specific questions because I know when it hits the fan,
right,
your ass gonna be calling me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. Oh, yeah. And then I gotta jump up from what I'm doing to put out your fire, right. because if I don't, it's gonna explode in mm-hmm. your face. And I know 9 times out of 10 what's going to happen is going to fall back on me because mm-hmm. I'm your supervisor.
Right.
I got no time for that. Okay? Like
I have my own work to do.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I got my own work to do. I got other jobs to do because this person decided not to show up today or
right.
this person needs help. So not only am I playing train, I'm literally everybody's mama in the office. And our assistant executive director just came back from maternity leave. And she's still like, well, ask Liz. Don't ask me nothing.
Liz has no time for
Thank
this,
you.
Okay?
Liz is finna go. I was, ooh, child. I'm not going to say I was happy when I told him I was going to be gone, but I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad nor sad, okay? But, man, I'm just like, it makes no sense how just 1 week of training can help
could
so much.
Could make so much difference, yes.
And then you can't get mad at the person if they don't know how to get it done.
Exactly.
The way
they don't
you
know
want
how to fill the requirements because nobody taught them how to do it. And it's not like these things are just common sense
Thank you.
You already have practices and policies in place that you expect them to follow.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like we need to have like a webinar on this because when I tell you, I get email after email after email about, well, this check request is wrong. This invoice is wrong. The notes are wrong. Well, if you gave them a week.
Yes.
And gave me some time, because I said I'm going to develop a binder, mm-hmm. and it's going to have how to fill out everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know.
Oh, you're a good supervisor.
I've been trying, because when I tell you, I had to tell them, because I came back from maternity leave in April. Mm-hmm. No, May. No, April. And I had to tell them, you gotta give me an hour and a half when I walk through the door. Like, now I know how my mom felt when she would walk through the door and all the kids would be jumping out.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I have my bag in, I have like multiple bags because mm-hmm. I got my bag from my laptop. Then, because I bring work home.
Right.
Which I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. If I'm working from 8 to 4, I should not
exactly
have to bring work home.
Somehow it still happens.
You know. So I got my laptop bag, my purse. Then I got my pumping bag. Because I still pump. Ask me how many times I've missed pumping.
How many times have
you many. Too many. I got a sign up on my door and everything. And they still,
oh my goodness.
I know you're pumping, but is it okay? If you know I'm pumping, titties out. Leave me alone. Okay? I'm trying. This is the one time.
Wait.
I had to tell them. I was like, listen, give me an hour and a half. From when I walk in, don't say nothing. Just say good morning. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to skirt right into my office. Mm-hmm. I'm going to close that door, lock the door. Do not knock on my door. Do not call my phone. Do not nothing mm-hmm. until 10 o'clock. I'm supposed to be at work at 8. I get there like 9 o'clock. Because between my kids and just knowing what I'm about
right.
to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be like that.
Right.
And I feel like with the training and the folks who actually care about the community and the folks who want to be there, it get in, get your work done.
Mm-hmm.
Know what you're doing. Ask me. I don't care if you ask me questions. But don't run to me like it's a fire.
Right. For everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's so annoying. But, you know, that's neither here nor there because, Lord help me if I ever express that to my supervisor. Well, at least you know, you are their supervisor. But I don't do that to you.
Right.
y'all got lucky when you hired me.
There are boundaries here that we need to abide by.
Thank you. And they don't have boundaries, which brings me to my next topic. I feel that when you do find a job that you really like, the folks around you want to be too friendly. Have you experienced that?
Yes.
Especially since you are military. They're just like, we know you don't have any friends, but now you can be mine.
I don't really like the people like that, okay?
Oh my God, they just want to be like, one of my coworkers told me I can go out on her boat. First off, I'm going to be stuck with you. I don't know you like that. You could be going out to kill me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Oh, yeah, tell your husband and bring your kids. Kids? On a boat?
But I think that speaks a lot to the different work culture that Black and brown people have as opposed to white America.
Mm-hmm.
At least from my experience, I have seen a lot of the time where in an office where it is white people, they will cling to each other and become friends, and we're going out after work, and we're out
sleeping
on the weekends.
Sleeping over, my kids love you.
They develop like real relationships.
Right.
Like, if I'm in an emergency, I'm gonna call you to take me to the hospital, type of stuff. And I, at least from my experience, when I leave work,
I don't know none of y'all.
Don't see you. Don't talk to me. Like, we don't. Hi, I'm a wave when I see you in the grocery store.
Right.
Don't take up a conversation. Like, that's just not how. And I've noticed that's not how it works for us because, I've actually done some research on the area, and it's because many Black and brown people are not allowed to be themselves at work, which goes back to the same thing you were talking about with the one girl who you said was let go.
Right.
Because she was too loud. We are not allowed to be ourselves at work, and you're kind of boxed in.
Yeah.
And so once you are outside of that 9 to 5 clock, oh, I get to be me again.
Thank you.
That little bun I had up, I can let down. Like,
right.
My little lock skip, whatever it is, I can put my J's on and I can do what I need to do for my life. And for us, it just seems like it's such a separation between work life and the rest of life.
Right.
And they don't have that. It's all intertwined. And so I think that makes a big difference in how we work together, how we see each other at work and outside of work.
And it's funny you bring that up. It's because, so I am really ignorant when it comes to my music choice and the volume
ignorant
of my music.
In which way?
I'll get there. Okay. With my volume choice as well. So I am a huge Project Pat fan and Gucci Mane fan. Gucci Mane to the bone, girl. Like, you would think I was from Atlanta.
Okay.
You like the way, and then of course I have subwoofers in my trunk.
Okay.
I have
it. So they know
amp.
When you're rolling up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So after I drop my, so being a parent, it's the weirdest thing. So we get in the car, getting my kids in the car. We're listening to the wheels on the bus go round and right.
Mm-hmm.
But now my kid, he kind of likes he likes variety of the songs. So we switch it up a little bit, right?
No flavor.
So he likes, his new jam is Shabba Ranks Ting-a-ling-a-ling. So I'm like, you know what? That's great. We will listen to that all the way to school. So then leaving his school, I then turn on my jams, right?
Right.
So I'm bumping on the way out of that parking lot. And I know these people are like, God, dog, she's so ghetto. I don't care. I'm out of there, right? I get to my job, and as soon as you turn onto the street that my job is at, it's so, like, it's historic. Mm-hmm. It's the historic district of our area.
Okay.
And it's quiet and old. So you know you can hear through them little nasty windows.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as I turn on, heads are turning. And I don't know if it's my brakes or my music. So that's how I'm just either like, either or, right? So now I'm turning it down. But one day, I say, you know what? I'm doing it. I rolled up. Thank you. I rolled up, and it was playing Gucci Mane. Bitch, I might be. Bitch, I might be. Is you rolling? Is you? And I'm bopping my head hard.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes my other supervisor. She's just looking at me. And I look at her. And I just, like, kind of look at her as I'm pressing my button to turn my car off. And she's like, oh, is that one of your favorite songs? I was like, it's my favorite song. She's like, what song is that? I said, oh, it's Gucci Mane. Bitch, I might be. And she's not from this country. So she's like, And she's, when I tell you, I've never seen her hightail it to her office. And her office is right next to mine. So we got to walk through the same door.
So you still could have walked together. Same, like, it's ridiculous.
Thank you. We could have walked together. That girl was running in the air, like, pew, gone. And I was like, okay.
She sent a mass email right after that. Guys, just leave Liz alone today.
But I'm today not really is sure her what's day. Going on.
But I say that you just kind of stay your distance, and I'm sure things will be back to normal soon.
I walked up in there. My face happened to be all frowny. And then our office manager, she's from the Dominican Republic. So she's looking at me, she's like, what's wrong? Who did it? And I was like, girl, let me just chill, because clearly I was hyped in the mood. Then we get a new coworker, and she's a black girl from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes the same music I do. But she like Kevin Gates.
Y'all about to overthrow the guy.
We literally, and her office is directly next to mine. So I pulled in one day, and I was, you know, being saved and sanctified, and I didn't have any music playing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls up, Kevin Gates. And I looked at her, I'm like, you too? Like, it was one of those, like, Color Purple moments.
Right. You the kindred spirit.
Exactly. And I was like, yes, definitely. And she was like, yeah, girl, that's how I get through my day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I love that, like, I put my headphones in. I put one in so I don't look rude, but even still, they still talk to me no matter if I'm on the phone with the phone to my head or what.
Mm-hmm.
There's no boundaries with these folks, but I will put a headphone in and I'm bopping hard. City Girls is my other group.
Oh,
shout out to y'all. So I'm bopping, I'm typing my notes, doing my work, and I'm busting through my work. There's nothing. And
right.
Here, the lady going, take it out my ear.
Excuse me?
She's like, Liz, I'm trying to talk to you.
Wait.
First off,
roll all that back.
If you would see how my office is set up, there's no reason why you should be behind my desk.
I'm sorry, she took it out of your ear?
Yeah. Like, I was in trouble. She was like, boop.
Oh, okay.
Right out my ear. And I say, you know what? Today's the day. I got to go.
Oh, that would have been a reflex.
I got
slapped like that.
One of those stiff hands, right?
That could have been a lot.
Hello. Hello, girl. The boundary, like you said. Boxing me in to the point where I have to bite all of my tongues and be like, yes, how can I help you today?
Right.
Okay, so that's really funny that you bring that up, because I think the girl, the coworker that I was talking about, we talk about it all the time. She wants to wear her dashikis to work. I wore one to work, and all of them were like, oh, wow, that's a really cute topless. Well, where'd you get that, TJ Maxx? I always see stuff like that. I said, no, you didn't see no damn TJ Maxx.
Oh, my God.
You crazy.
Oh, my God.
And, and, you know, we always get the ones that are like, oh, Trump, poor Trump. Y'all just talk about him so bad.
Ooh, okay. All right.
So that's when I'm
maybe
just like.
Maybe you can accept with that
one. And that's when I'm just like, no. That's when I just walk away. And I know they like, this black bitch. But I,
That is so funny. So I may not do as much as you do.
Oh, yeah, I go hard.
But I am always trying to test boundaries, too, especially when I go in for the interview. I am so cautious of what I'm wearing. Not, like, to be, oh, I need to have the hair in the bun and the little heels and what. No. Like, I will get faux locks put in my head just for this interview.
Yes.
Well, I mean, whatever it is that's like good and black.
Right.
That's right. Like, nah, you won't realize.
Because the Erykah Badu rap.
Right. There's a diversity quota that you got to fill anyway. And you're getting paid. You're getting a kickback on your taxes for having this diversity quota in your office. So, you're going to take me.
You're going to pick me today.
And it's not going to be the whitewashed version. It was like, no, this is what you're going to get. So, hi, how are you doing?
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I interviewed this one black girl, and I knew she was in interview mode. This girl was nodding her head so hard. Her glasses was falling down. She was, And I literally, and I like to fool with people. Lord, forgive me. I like to mess with them, right? So, I said, what if... Because the area we live in, predominantly white, low income, low education level. I said, what if you go to someone's house and they say to you, because this happened to me, mm-hmm. and this is quote for quote, the man was, I said, you go into a house to see a child and you have one of the relatives making a fishing net between two poles or mm-hmm. two trees, mm-hmm. two sturdy trees. And he looks at you and says, you know what? I wanted to beat somebody today. You looking for a whipping? What do you say?
Wait, excuse me?
Uh-huh. What do you say? And she, interviewing mode. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is kind of difficult, but I would tell him, you know. And I looked at her and I was like, girl, stop. Stop. Right now.
Wait.
I literally was like, girl, mm-mm. That's what we're not going to do.
I'm so confused. How is this real life?
The man was making a fishing, and this was out in the sticks, honey. This is where, when I was a child welfare case manager here.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was going to go see a kid, and this is an area where they call it a holler. Have you ever been?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
So that means, like, there are trailers that are either in a circle or stacked on a hill.
Okay.
So we don't have hills here, so they're all in a circle mm-hmm. on one little tight street. Mm-hmm. And you can holler to your neighbors for whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
So you can holler for sugar, you can holler for whatever. So in this particular neighborhood, it's a little street, and it might be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 trailers on this one street mm-hmm. and one house. So like if the street was like a horseshoe, the middle was mm-hmm. the house and okay. all the trailers around it. So the man, I go into the house to see the child, and I pull up, and I say, hi, how are you? And he's making his little fishing net or whatever, and he turns around, and he looks at me, and he was like, like frowned up face, looked at me like I was lost, clearly.
I cannot.
And the man was like, I was looking to beat somebody today. You looking for a weapon? I looked at that man, I said, man, I'm here to see the kid. Is he in the house? He's like, oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding. See, don't get me riled up. I'll lose my job in a heartbeat.
That might have been my last day. That might have been.
As soon as I finished seeing that child, I got on the phone with my supervisor said, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I'm going straight home. What happened? And I told him what happened. And apparently that spread like wildfire because then everybody was, Liz, are you okay?
Now we need to be concerned.
Thank you. You know what? We're going to go in pairs now. Oh, that's what it takes? Get out of here. Get out of here. But Shorty was in. When I tell you,
She's like, no, that's okay.
That's fine. I would just tell him, I don't tolerate things like,
come on, Ayala.
Thank you. Carry some bricks around. What are you going to do? Write your shortcomings on the bricks and put it in the wagon. Golly, I looked at her and I said, come on, girl. For real. What would you say?
Oh, my goodness.
And she was just like, yeah, that's weird. I said, well, you're going to encounter it here. Yeah. Because you're going to see, like, you're black coming into their white home.
Mm-hmm.
And you can or cannot take their child away. You get what I'm saying? So they're already up in arms.
Right.
So sprinkle a little melanin on that.
Yep. They got to let you know who is in charge in this situation.
Thank you.
Got it.
It's just, it's something else. I tell you, these folks down here are something else.
That is crazy.
Isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it?
Oh, no.
I either get that or those old weird, I had a, and the man would, he was so weird. He's a landlord. Now I work with, back to my new job where I work with emergency assistance. Landlord, he needed more information as to, because we help with rental assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained over the phone what we do and mm-hmm. how we do it and how long we do it for. And he couldn't understand over the phone. He said, I need to talk to you in person because I work better. Okay, that's mm-hmm. fine, whatever. I didn't know he was coming in that day. I come back from getting lunch or something like that, and he's standing circling the building. And I see 45 on his hat. I see, Keep America Great? Is that his new? The new song.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I saw that on the back of someone's truck the other day, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that might be the 2020 slogan.
Okay.
But anyway, the new hat, the new joint.
Made in China.
Hello. Or Mexico.
Or Mexico, whichever.
Jeez.
That's why you're trying to send the people back there. Thank so you. Make his product.
Make them faster. More will make more. But anyway, so he is circling the building, which is weird. So I kind of just stay in the car, and he's looking at my car, and he's kind of looking at, you know, the building, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I, as soon as he circles the opposite way that the door is, I ran into the door. Like, yeah. I ran inside. Because mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
This feels like a threat.
Hello. Mm-hmm. So he goes inside. I guess he gets too hot. He goes inside, and he's like, hey, I'm here to see Liz. And our receptionist, he's like, okay, I don't know if she's back yet. So then he kind of like scurries around the corner, and he's like, Liz, are you in your office? And I was like, yes, why? He's like, some man's outside looking for you. And I was like, when are they? Like, they're always looking for me. They always feel that I have this magic wand, and mm-hmm. I can just do whatever. Mm-hmm. So I come outside, and this man looked at me, and he's like, I'm the landlord. He goes, are you Liz? And I said, yeah, I'm Liz. And he was like, you don't look like Liz. I said, have you met me before?
Right.
He was like, no. And I said, well, how do you know how I look? He was like, wow, you're way prettier than what I thought you would be on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And then he was like, he said something to me, and then it got cut off short because I said, you know, this is getting really inappropriate. He was like, yeah, now everything's fine, so now we just need to go get drinks? Is that what we need to do? And I said, no, not at all. I'm here to work. He's like, oh, okay. Well, I hope you think about me.
Okay.
Old white man with little to no teeth. They are so bold down here.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have clam chowder.
Listen, I'm from New England. I still don't eat that mess. Okay. You eat potatoes. That's what it is. Potatoes. But it's just so crazy down here. And they want you to work and work and work and work and be okay with just working like crazy.
Yes.
Like, that's not...
Yeah, that's... Their self-care piece is not there.
Like, okay. So what do you do for self-care when you used to work out in D.C. and stuff? Because it's hustle and bustle out there.
Yes. I actually really enjoyed the hustle and bustle. Going...
Really?
Yeah. Loved it. Like, when I had 15 things to do and I love to be around people.
Yeah.
And to be in the midst of people. Actually having to talk to 15 different people at once, that's a big luck.
Right.
But to be around the energy of it,
yes. Yeah, I get
so
you.
So for
that
me,
one.
A lot of the self-care was going into spaces where I could be around a lot of people. So, I mean, you know, up there they have like places like Busboys and Poets or just different lounges place, and yeah. Those type of facilities where you can go do poetries and open mics uh-huh. And you're doing music or whatever. Yeah. And so you're just enjoying the company of being around people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was always kind of reinvigorating that I was just around the energy and I'm seeing right. All these creative black people doing all of these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get so inspired. And so that was kind of where my self-care came. That was probably one of the biggest things.
Okay.
Just being able to go to a place where I know I didn't have to be anything but me.
Right. And I think that's what I miss the most. Because mm-hmm. when we were in D.C., I was U Street, 14th U, 16th U, mm-hmm. all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's just so magical. When you, from the kids playing the buckets
right.
as drums mm-hmm. on the mm-hmm. corner, to when you actually go into Busboy and Poets, or Marvin's Room, or mm-hmm. Ben's Chili Bowl,
right.
things like that.
Or seeing the murals just on the street of all of these black elite people, like, yes.
Right. It's mm-hmm. just, it's something about it that it's just like, you feel safe,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
It's so funny. So I did a 2010. I was in D.C. at the time, and I was working for the census as an enumerator. So we were mm-hmm. going to the people's houses and whatnot. D.C., of course, it's D.C. Like, there, it's D.C. There,
you Anacostia,
there
honey.
Is crime, there is all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It exists. It's the city. I felt so safe. Like, ooh, on all these streets, I was just knocking on doors. You home? Was like,
yes.
And then trying to invite you in and ask, you need this?
You want
this?
Some food?
Right. You
want
to come in? No, I can't come in. I got to stay out here. But you know.
Right.
Just very conversational. And then even this year, they're hiring for the enumerators for the census again. And I put in my application, and then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, I don't really know if I should be going door to door just in regular Florida, just
mm-hmm.
as a black, like in the skin that I'm
you
in.
Might not come home.
I don't know how that works. And so I even talked to my therapist about it. And I think she used to be like a parole officer or something mm-hmm. also. And she was like, Don't you dare.
Not at all.
Don't you do it. She was telling me where the Klan was still existing. Oh, yeah. And how she was just in this part of Florida and this happened to her, mm-hmm. where some 4-year-old girl called her the N-word. Like,
ooh, don't do it to me. I'd be so ready.
And she was just like, no, don't put... She was like, they would stick their dogs on her. And mm-hmm. she's in, like, a full uniform. And they're like, if you have nothing but a t-shirt and jeans and a badge on...
Thank you. What you think they're going to do to you?
There is no protection for you.
Right.
And so that kind of... But it was just very interesting to me that, oh, I felt extremely safe in this, quote-unquote, crime-ridden location.
High crime.
Oh, my goodness.
On the mat.
Right.
Girl, same thing. Okay, mm-hmm. So I love DC. I love Baltimore because of the rich history, mm-hmm. the blackness, and just, oh my God. I think those areas opened my eyes to legit, like, who we are as people, yes. and where we've come from.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's still that tomfoolery that we do.
Absolutely.
It's still more of us as a community, mm-hmm. like legit community, right. sense. Than, oh, I'm crabs in a barrel, mm-hmm. in a sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I came here and I had people fingering my hair,
mm-hmm.
I've had people uh-huh. doing the same thing to my son. Oh, his hair is so soft. What do you think it's going to be, a Brillo pad? Oh. What? First off, get your grumpy fingers out
right.
his head.
Exactly.
And my son, I love him to death. And we're in this situation with a kid in his class, a little girl,
mm-hmm.
little white girl. Doing whatever the F she wants to do.
Mm.
And my son, he likes white women.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around
them. Yeah.
He's been around them.
That's what he sees.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Other than my family members and my friends,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't really have a lot of other black outsiders. You
right.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I try to make friends with the black moms, but if I invite you out about 4 or 5 times, you never show up, what
yes.
can I do?
Yes.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I've even done, hey, let's go to your house
mm-hmm.
if it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to your house. Let's go to the park. Let's go. And if you don't want to come out.
Right.
And my kid rather play with Timmy or whatever. That's mm-hmm. a made up name, y'all. I don't got no Timmy as a friend. But it's just like, well, what can we do to show him that black kids are not scared? I mean, granted, my son will play with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even the case.
Right.
But I want him to be around more. Back to this little white girl. This little white girl is BAD, and I don't really like calling kids bad.
Mm-hmm.
She is awful. She likes to pull up her dress and have my son tickle her belly.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
When he goes pee, she's watching him. She was trying to pull his pants down.
What?
You know, I went to that director. I was like, I want her gone. Because
yes.
the shoe would have been on the other foot.
If it was the other way, oh,
my
there
boy
would have been no question.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Kicked out in
yep.
a heartbeat.
Yep.
The way them white folks do it, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the teacher. I talked to the director. I didn't even let a day go by before I called again and was like, I need a meeting with the parents
right.
now.
Yes,
and
you should.
And I told him, and I started getting real testy. And I was like, listen, you better call this meeting before I find her in the parking lot and have this meeting. And then, oh, Miss Johnson, I'm not laughing. Because if this was
this
anything,
is warranted.
Thank
yes.
you. If mm-hmm. this is anything else, and my son was the aggressor,
yes.
my kid would be kicked out in a mental institution,
mm-hmm.
doped up, whatever. And he's
mm-hmm.
3. Now it's, oh well, she's 3. So
right.
No, I don't care about
all
if
of
she's
sudden,
3 or
mm-hmm.
not. Her mama is. She works at the daycare too,
mm-hmm.
and she thinks that it's okay to talk to whomever, however,
any kind of way she chooses. Mm-hmm.
And then she got to the point where she was like, "Oh, what can I do about it? You and a mom.
Excuse me? What can you do about it?
You and a mom.
This is a 3-year-old?
Oh,
okay.
You and a mom.
Okay.
I told my child one time, we don't tickle anyone's belly other than mommy, daddy, and sissy when we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Smooth. Like, it was nothing. And it was, yeah, tickling, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, I got to worry about shorty pulling his pants down?
Yeah. See, that's just a lot.
And I worked with this mom before, and it was one of those things where you have to kind of pull yourself together
mm-hmm.
before you talk to her, because you instantly want to like get angry.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I couldn't deal with it. And when I tell you, I want her gone. She needs to go today. Mind you, we leave it soon, so I shouldn't even really be mad. But at the end of the day, it's inappropriate.
Yes.
No matter how you slice
right.
it. It's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And having them teachers tell you something else. I told them, I said, If it was up to me, you would be writing down every single thing that the little girl is doing, yeah. So that when I go to this meeting, we gonna flip some pages, okay? Because it's notes. A mess. Mm-hmm. It is a mess.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
Already.
Right. But anyway, I digress. That's just me though. So we are actually gonna wrap it up, but before we do, can we promote?
Yes, we should. We can.
Okay. So my girl Tanae over here is an author. She has a book for our black kings, our little black princes. Her book is called Son, You Are a King, and it's the cutest. Oh my God, I love this book. Can you just, you know, if you want to describe it a little bit? Since it's your book.
Sure. Okay, so I wrote this book entitled Son, You Are a King. It was pretty much a love piece that I wrote maybe 3-4 years ago. I wrote it in response to the death of Tamir Rice and how his friends must have felt having to deal with that, having to still be children but deal with such adult issues.
PTSD.
At such an early age. Exactly. And how that would affect them in the future and the things that they would be able or see themselves doing and the success they would see themselves having. And so the book, it's a children's book, illustration book. Honestly, I feel like it's for all age ranges because it's really empowering for adults to read as well. And it's pretty much about being faced with bullying, low self-esteem, and self-doubt. Just all the things that black boys in America deal with. And not really having the words mm-hmm. to express that and not really knowing how to express it, what they should do with all of that energy that they feel and all the resistance to self that they feel in the classroom, in the workspaces, wherever you are. And so this book is kind of allowing them to lose their innocence, but at the same time, finding their power.
Right.
So that you're no longer, I understand that they are still children, but they still are dealing with very adult issues that they shouldn't have to deal with.
Right.
But I feel like if we are able to empower them as opposed to hiding the truth from them,
mm-hmm.
that will allow them the stepping stones to create more success in life. So that is definitely what the book is trying to promote. I hope I did a good job. It's definitely a labor of love. It took forever, guys.
But it's so dope. And I read it a little bit and I'm so eager to grab it off them shelves. It's on Amazon.
Yes, it'll be on Amazon on September 1st.
September 1st. So definitely check it out. Son, You Are a King by Tanae Baker. I think the book is really, really awesome. The wording is simple too, so it's not like too extravagant.
Right, right.
The wording's simple. It's a lot of like just self-love poured into this book. So definitely check that out. And thank y'all for hanging out with us today. All right, bye.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'll see y'all.